morning. You're tuned into Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from your neighborhood news site, Mission Local, brought to you via BFF.fm. I'm Laura Wenis, and in the studio with me today is Laura Waxman. Hey, Laura.
Good morning.
Today we're going to talk about a little bit of a controversy that has unfolded on the mission's walls. It's an art controversy, and it's actually not the first of its kind, although it has seemed to be pretty interesting to readers. Laura has been reporting the story since early last week.
Yes.
Laura, why don't you tell us what's going on at 24th and Folsom Streets?
Absolutely. So a quick recap. So we were called by an activist in the mission, a muralist, notifying us that a mural that had been there for at least 2 years and was created by the mission's youth through Presida Eyes and their youth arts program was being whitewashed, was being painted over with white paint, and that the artist who was, you know, commissioned to work on that mural didn't get permission from the organization. So there was a bit of resistance. People started gathering there during the afternoon, mostly muralists, people affiliated with Presida Eyes, community members, activists, and they tried to stop it. And it turned out to be a really big deal.
Yeah. So to explain kind of in a nutshell what's going on here. Well, first of all, we should describe the existing mural and then what was painted over it, because they have two very different messages. And this came about in sort of it seemed like a tricky way for the new artist who was coming in. It seemed like she, you know, had been given to understand that everything was fine. The business owner, the property owner, excuse me, had given her permission to do what she needed to do. It invited her to do this new mural. But maybe a little bit more, give us the skinny on that.
Right. So it's a little complicated because I had to figure all this out too.
Yeah.
But so basically the building's owner bought the building 2 years ago with the existing mural on it. And the existing mural painted by the youth said, "Our culture is not for sale," which is a very big statement given what's happening right now in the mission with gentrification created by the kids that live there.
Mm-hmm.
So that mural was, according to the owner, his name is Ali Rizmanchi, according to him, that mural was too dark and it portrayed skulls. It was a reference to, you know, Latino culture elements, to Dia de los Muertos.
It was also like color wise quite dark.
Right.
It was
so dark toned. We have to give that to him. It was dark.
Sure,
but
yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be, from what I understood, it wasn't supposed to be a happy mural.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. It's about kids expressing, you know, lamenting the loss of their culture.
Exactly.
And then expressing resistance to that by saying our culture is not for sale. And yeah, there are, you know, there's imagery in it that might not, to an outsider, strike them as happy-go-lucky or like cheerful necessarily.
Right. And so for him, you know, he's the owner right now. He is having a new restaurant opening up in his space. I'm sure the renovations are ongoing right now. And I'm sure that was part of the process, you know, his thinking. He just probably wanted to lighten up the wall and attract people to the business or whatever, but it got a lot of backlash. The thing about the mural, you know, what I understood made it really special as well is that the kids designed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you were saying earlier expression. I mean, this is by the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was just what hit really hard for the community.
And then what was the new mural that was going to go over it supposed to look like?
So it was definitely colorful. what I was told, there are mandalas. I can never say this word. Mandalas.
Geometric designs.
Geometric designs. But actually they're more like flowered-inspired mandalas.
Mm-hmm.
Flower-inspired mandalas. They're really colorful, and there was a new message, and that message said, be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
So that was for the community. Anybody passing by would read that and, I guess, be inspired to be a good person or not.
I'm going to try and play a clip that was recorded at the scene where one of the activists and muralists with Presida Eyes discusses with the new owner what their take is on the message of the new mural.
She kind of schooled him a little bit.
Yeah, so let's see if we can hear what she has to say.
If there's a gentrifier who paints on here with a message that says something, but in practice are not living that message, that's not going to get respected. There's going to be a ton of graffiti that's going to go over that mural because people will not respect it.
So she's talking to the new owner there, the property owner.
Right. Mr. Rizmanchi.
And after this happened, it sounded like a little bit of negotiation took place.
Right. And, you know, what I really respected was, so the muralist, the new artist, she was from the East Bay. I'm assuming she was a friend or acquaintance of the owner. She actually, what I found out later was that she volunteered to do the mural. So it wasn't
mm-hmm.
even a paid gig.
So, yeah. So right? Nobody's making bank off
Nobody's making bank. It was, you know, between the owner and her, and she had gotten permission from him. She even though she is a muralist and she's an artist, she didn't know about the process in the mission, especially, you know, when painting over murals, renovating murals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what I really respected was that the owner actually came out and talked to the community, because, you know, he didn't have to do that, but he did.
And it can be a little frightening if you don't know, why people are frustrated with you, exactly, to, like, face people who are angry.
And I asked him too, you know, did you know that there was a process? Because he said he was an artist himself. He's a photographer.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But, you know, he's been in the mission, from what I know, 2 years. So he maybe wasn't aware.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not aware of everything that goes on with the mural. So I totally understand that point. But so he came out and he faced them, and there was a pretty good discussion. I mean, he listened. He straight up told them, this is why I don't like it. And you have to respect him for that. You know, so there was a good conversation happening. And in the end, he definitely agreed to work with Presida Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He first offered up another kind of wall space somewhere else.
For them.
For them.
Mm-hmm.
To, 'cause he said, you know, we've already begun this. We're already painting over. We can't really stop it now.
Right. How much of the mural had been buffed over or whitewashed over?
By the time I got there, it was about 2/3.
Okay.
So you could see like a little bit of the old mural.
But, mm-hmm, but for the most part, it's gone.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So he offers them a different wall, and then that didn't quite pan out. What happened instead?
Well, so Eric Aguello, who's the president of Calle 24, the cultural district, Latino cultural district on 24th Street, he was there, and he said something pretty powerful. You know, he was saying that it seems that our community always gets thrown a bone. And he basically just told Rismanchi that he wants that wall, that he wants that wall for the children, and they want to be front and center.
Mm-hmm.
And Rismanchi kind of, you know, thought about that for a little bit, but in the end, I think he saw, or maybe he just wasn't, he was over dealing with it, but he agreed.
Okay, so the Presida Eyes group now will be able to paint a new mural on the wall that was originally theirs, for lack of a better term.
That's right.
Okay, so then the guest muralist who was originally going to replace that mural is instead asked to paint on a different side of the building, and does so, and completes her mural, if I understand correctly, over the weekend, this past weekend?
Yeah, so I don't know when, you know, the mural actually went up or was finished, but by Monday it was there. It was up. It was on the Folsom Street side of that property. You know, the original mural that was painted over was on the 24th Street side. So, you know, and I think, I don't know, she didn't sign it.
Oh, no.
So I think she definitely wanted to get that over with, probably.
And then exactly what we heard in this clip is what happens. Almost immediately, it seems like, after the mural is completed, somebody comes by and just spray paints over it with scribbles.
Exactly.
And I think after that, even another layer appeared where somebody else came and defaced it with even darker paint to make it clearer.
Oh, yeah.
That this is not wanted.
I'm pretty sure that won't stop.
Right. So this is not, like I said, the first time that this has happened, and not the first time we've reported on it. And you know, somebody who doesn't spend a lot of time in the Mission District or isn't a reporter here or has not lived here a long time might not see murals as terribly controversial to begin with, unless maybe they have a really strong political message. But I think often the ones that are the most strongly not apolitical, the ones that are the most, for lack of a better term, politically bland,
yep,
are the ones that are targeted then by people who come along and tag them up. There has been sort of an ongoing shift in the murals that appear on 19th and Lexington Streets,
mm-hmm,
where an artist called Finch has painted a number of different murals, and over time they've been repeatedly defaced, often in one case with the tag Latino Art Only, which was another mission sort of mural controversy. And then, Laura, you talked to somebody who had sort of been an advocate of that response, right?
Right. So that person, he is himself a graffiti artist, and he kind of filled me in a little bit about the culture and, you know, that there is a level of respect in the local community. And coming in as an outsider and putting up your art, well, I have to say about Finch,
mm-hmm,
that, because I covered that story, and that whole controversy was because Finch, at some point when he had come into the mission to do another mural, painted over somebody else's. So this is exactly, basically what happened, you know, here on last weekend.
Right. So I guess we should clarify. The rule is don't paint over somebody else's thing without asking
and
them first.
What I found out from one of the activists who was there on, confused with the days, but, you know, when the mural was defaced, she told me that you have to at least give the artist, the original artist, because, you know, the muralists sign their murals. You have to give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
You should let them know so they can take a picture of it or, you know, work it out somehow.
Yeah.
So that wasn't
And the key here is that you have to discuss this with the previous muralist, the previous artist,
right?
Not necessarily with the property owner. Obviously, you know, I'm assuming legally, if you don't get permission from the property owner, you might have some issues there.
Absolutely.
But you will also have issues with the community if you paint over something that somebody else did and you didn't even mention it to
them. Which is very tedious because Finch has been dealing with this for quite some time now.
Right.
You know, he keeps restoring his murals, which is great. I mean, that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still facing backlash. And I think, you know, when that happened, that was, I think, last year that I wrote about that on 19th Street. And he actually put out a call on Instagram, I believe it was, Instagram or Facebook, to meet the taggers so that he could confront them, not, you know, just have a positive conversation, which is kind of what we saw happening with
mm-hmm.
his last one.
Mm-hmm.
He never got feedback, but I did talk to somebody in that community, and, you know, there's a bit of hostility there.
Yeah. And again, this goes back a long way. I mean, a muralist who is very well known and very popular in the Mission now, and actually was fairly recently on this program talking to us about this. His name is Saran Norris. He's also one of the lead artists on the show Bob's Burgers, if anybody watches cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
But he started out kind of in a rocky situation in the Mission when he came in. One of our earliest pieces of coverage of Saran Norris as a muralist was us publishing his apology letter to the Mission, in which he says, my goal has been to enhance the Mission with my art through murals and affordable youth art classes. However, I realize that in this case, I have literally painted over it. So he was in the exact same situation, wow. Had the exact same conflict. And, you know, he says, nonetheless, in every mistake that I've made in life, I believe it is important to find the lesson. It's obvious that I've disrespected the important content of the previous mural and the artists themselves who contributed to it. So that, I think, is really at the core of why this always becomes contentious. You know, it's not just like, well, I didn't like your art. It's right. It's not a discussion of like the artistic merit of any one thing. It's about the content and the history and who did it and sort of what their role has been in shaping the Mission. And in that sense, it, you know, it's perfectly reasonable to you can see why people would be sensitive to somebody who hasn't spent a lot of time here, who hasn't lived here, who hasn't been part of the community.
And then paints over something that's valuable to the community.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're seeing that over and over again. And in the case of, you know, in the case of Finch, I think it hit a lot more nerves because it was specifically called out by ethnicity. It said Latino art only.
Right.
Did you get a sense of why that was the message that came out of this?
Well, Finch is clearly white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, you know, if we had talked about that, and he felt he didn't necessarily think it was racially motivated
mm-hmm.
himself,
mm-hmm.
even though the message was pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he did say that the gentrification and the street art versus the graffiti and the murals, I think that was more of the clash there, at least from his point of view. But who knows?
Yeah.
We never, you know, there was no resolution there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and yeah, and in the case of like Saran, for example, he was saying, you know, he's an African-American man
right.
coming in.
I think it's also about building up, you know, your credit in the community, like your...
Oh, of course, yeah.
So I think that's like...
I guess what I'm asking is, when you talk to someone who was supportive of defacing Finch's mural, mm-hmm. did you get the sense that they agreed with the idea that it should be Latino art only, or was it more of a sense of it doesn't really matter what your race is, it's just don't disrespect other people's work?
I didn't get that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more about, you're coming in here, you don't know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and you're putting your art here and you're putting it over other people's art.
Mm-hmm.
The sense I got, and it's also the sense I got this last time with Proceed Eyes.
Yeah.
You know, because they did tell me, I asked them, you know, are these walls reserved for Proceed Eyes muralists? Do other people have a chance to put some art up here? And it seemed, at least from what I was told, that, you know, they're open to working with all kinds of artists, but you have to go through the processes.
Right.
You have to check in with them.
Right. I think there was also a little bit of disagreement or maybe misunderstanding about whether or not somebody had checked in with them. Was that ever resolved?
That was a little awkward, I have to say, you know, because so the artist who, you know, she was, I feel for her a little bit. She was confronted by a lot of people on the sidewalk.
And just for the record, we're not mentioning this artist's name because we actually have not been able to get her to tell us what her name is. She's declined to be named.
She did not want to be named. Uh-huh. You know, she was a little, she's confronted by a lot of people. And one of the things that I think made a lot of people mad was that she had said that she walked into Presida Eyes, left a note for Susan Cervantes, who's the head of Presida Eyes, the director, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Cervantes had called her back and given her permission to keep painting. And that's not what happened, at least according to everyone at Presida Eyes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she was under the pressure. You know, she told me that Cervantes said, keep painting. And I kept painting.
Mm-hmm.
And
then she has backlash from people in the same organization
who are saying that didn't happen.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to suss out exactly what happened in these situations. Unfortunately, there's always a certain element of uncertainty involved for everybody. But the interesting thing is that it can also be resolved. I mean, especially when we look at going way back again to Cyril Nyerere's situation. After he wrote the letter of apology, I think he and the artist who had originally painted the mural that he, you know, inadvertently obliterated, they got together and they decided to paint a mural together. And I think also involve the neighborhood's youth. So there was compromise there. There was resolution there. I get the sense that humility is a key part there. And I think we might be seeing that unfold in the most recent situation as well.
Absolutely. So the last thing that I've heard, you know, I'm trying to keep up with the story, obviously, but the muralist from Presida Eyes, you know, the building owner, and maybe even the artist who created that new mural on Folsom Street were involved in negotiations and a conversation just a couple of days ago. Trying to find out what happened there. We'll keep you clued in. Mm-hmm. But I know that, you know, there definitely has to be some kind of resolution, because if that mural keeps getting tagged up, that's bad for the business, it's bad for the building, it's bad for everybody. And
yeah, and I mean, we can see that the thing the city is fastest at enforcing is graffiti. Like, within a couple of days of your building getting tagged up, if you're a building owner, I'm sure you get those notices of graffiti removal. Right. And yeah,
it's a pretty big mural. I mean, she's still got a big wall space there on Folsom Street, mm-hmm, so it's definitely mm-hmm. an eye catcher.
Yeah, and it's colorful, yeah. And the patterns are very vibrant. And I mean, it has a clear message that a lot of people in the neighborhood feel is not being abided by right. by the person who actually commissioned it.
Right, and so the building owner, the person who commissioned it, you know, he did say on the sidewalk that day, he did say that he was willing to hand over that other wall to Presida Eyes and involve the youth, but maybe he needs to be a little bit more proactive about that, you know, just to have that resolution.
Well, it's a tricky situation, again, because we don't know. We were not able to be at the meeting between the owner and Presida that I believe was sort of a mediation meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for us to know how anybody is behaving right now, beyond what we saw originally when tempers were flaring, out on the street. But this is complicated, I think, by the fact that the mural simply is gone. I mean, it's unlikely to be restored. And to a degree, I think that's expected also. I mean, wall art, street art is ephemeral in some sense, and it will change, it will evolve. Either the sun weathers it and you know, sometimes muralists come out and restore it, or they give permission for it to be painted over, or they don't, and then it does anyway. And then you have these sort of conflicts and issues, but ultimately it has changed. And I think that also sort of gets to the subtext of the situation. Actually, it's not subtext, because definitely some of the folks who were out there on the street said it very plainly, but this in a sense is about gentrification, right. And the fact that it cannot be undone,
right.
Once you
it's
come
gone.
In and you change stuff, you know, of course, for better or for worse, cities change, times change, right. Neighborhoods change, murals, wall arts change, and that's a fact of life, but once it's done, it can't be undone.
And I think that's one of the arguments that we hear over and over with these stories, not just murals, but other, you know, changes in the mission, mm-hmm. in the city, is that people feel like even just that having to explain the value of something that's so clearly ingrained in the community,
mm-hmm.
and having someone who comes in and doesn't understand that value or doesn't even inquire about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think that's a big issue.
Well, or who believes they've inquired about it to the fullest extent that they were supposed to, and it turns out that was not what other people see as their due diligence.
That's right.
Yeah. Where do you think this is going to go moving forward? What's your sense? Just if you had to make a guess.
Right. I can only speculate.
Yes. Yes. But so, we will keep you posted soon as we find out more.
We're going to follow up for sure. But, you know, I do have a feeling that unless he really compromises or negotiates with the community in some way, that mural will keep being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has been shown that, you know, it's been already tagged, and he really needs to work with the community there in mm-hmm. some way. And maybe, you know, there's other ways that he can involve the community or be more proactive, but it's on him.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the Finch murals on 19th Street? Do you think that's ever going to stop? I mean, we've seen those murals cycle through like 5 times now. There was one that was a collaboration, I think, between Finch and another artist that was Butterfly Wings.
Yeah. Cameron.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, that one was pretty quickly tagged up. Again, one of the most innocuous images.
Right.
I mean, certainly not meant to invoke any kind of, like, conflict. Although I think it was supposed to be inherently about immigration.
Because of the butterfly.
Because butterflies are migratory. But, you know, I think the message was supposed to be inclusivity. And that is now, that was tagged up heavily, and then covered up, and then now it's been replaced with a gorilla mural, I believe. I think it's a stencil.
It's a stencil, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's not definitely not the original
behind
artist.
That?
I reached out to the artist, and mm-hmm. he said he didn't put that there. He did, you know, black out the wall. He painted over it.
Mm-hmm.
And no comment on whether or not he would put something else there.
Right.
But whatever went up now is not,
okay.
not his.
Yeah. Do you think that one's ever, I mean, is there a path to resolution there? Is there a path to wall piece on that corner?
I think that's a tricky one. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Folsom Street one has more of a chance because there's conversations happening there.
Yeah.
You know? And 19th Street, I don't know. I can't call it, but I think we'll see.
We're
going to keep walking by there.
Yeah, we'll keep walking by. And we will keep up with the situation on 24th Street. The mediation meeting has already happened. Do we know of other meetings that are scheduled to occur?
The mediation was yesterday, I believe. So mm-hmm. I'll follow up today and we'll see what happens.
Okay, great. Well, Laura, thanks for getting us up to speed on what is happening on the walls of the Mission murals. You've been tuned in to Listen Local. This is our biweekly webcast with neighborhood news, notes, opinions, thoughts from the neighborhood. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always shoot us an email. We're at info@missionlocal.com. You can also tweet at us. We are at MLNow. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
It's the